Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Malcolm Gaglia, a playwright, performer, all-round good guy when it comes to, you know, professional arts, no?
Yeah, what does he do with theatre?
Yeah.
Yes, that's something I've been doing for a long time now.
Long time.
Technically, it's my gap year from university.
Ah, you're still on it.
I finished university, so let me do like a gap year in theatre, and then I just kept extending it since, it's been now since 2002.
Okay, so that's a good 20 year. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
I'll get a job one day.
No, don't do that. Don't leave us. We're going to dive straight in because I'm sure lots of people know you and we want to get to know you more as we go along here. But your first track is by Christina Davina.
Yeah.
Davena. You see?
I think it's Davena.
Davena. Okay. This is Kiss Me Licha?
That's right.
I just don't know this track. Tell me about the track and tell me where it takes you.
This is from a cartoon. This is the opening. This is the opening of a cartoon. It's a Japanese cartoon which was aired in Malta in the 80s in Italian, of course.
Okay.
And Christina Davena sang the Italian version of the opening single of this song. And it's, I guess it's a cartoon for little girls, I think, but in Malta we just all liked it. And anyone my age, anyone in their 40s, in their early, well, probably even mid 40s, will know Kiss Me Licha, they'll recognize the song. It was just, you know, they talked in Italian, but they lived in a, you know, her dad made like ramen and stuff, you know, and then they had, you know, the little fat Japanese cats and stuff. And it was just a show. And I remember I liked this song so much that for my Holy Communion, my favorite gift from that was a Kiss Me Licha LP. I got a vinyl record. And it was just a memory of my childhood.
And the smile you've got on your face, I can see, like, there's a lot of fun. I'm going to have to really listen to this.
And it should be a good nostalgia kick, I think, to people my age.
So this is to all the 40-year-olds out there. Kiss Me Licha.
Kiss me, Licha, sono affezionati ed innamorati.
I'm going to stop pirouetting now.
Yeah.
And I would say come back into the real world, but I think this is going to be one of those kind of bonkers shows that you occasionally get to do. So thanks for that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when you're doing like 10 songs. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, what's I love my life is very much dictated by music, and I do. It was quite tricky actually just to find 10.
Like that I really challenge people, so yeah. You know, I feel good about
and
it.
And I didn't want to just pick songs I liked. I wanted to pick songs that I liked as I was different stages of my life, which are not necessarily songs I'd like now, but they give you memory.
Yeah, that's it. And some of them make you, well, I don't think any of these make you sob, but some of them make you sob, you know, and something.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with John Williamson to Home Among the Gum Trees.
Oh, yes, yes. This is when I was about 10 years old, my family emigrated to Australia.
Okay.
Went to live in Australia. And it was a new world to me, from Malta to go to live in Australia. You're just getting used to one country when you're 10, surrounded by sea. Suddenly you're in a country where the sea's very far away. And there's all kinds of just open fields. We lived literally in the country with my, close to my uncle had like a dairy farm, which was the size of the town I grew up in. and just to go to like to the capital city, to go to Melbourne, like a 3-hour drive. My dad had this big car and we just get in there like a 3-hour. And my parents were really into music. They still are. So I grew up, my parents are only like 22 years older than I am. So they were quite chaotic. Like we had posters of David Bowie and Mark Bolan all over the house. So when we drive, my parents would like play music for 3 hours and they got super into the Australian country, the patriotic country music. And this is a song that's just very Australian country.
Do you miss Australia at all? Or
I do. I've not been since I returned. I've
okay.
Not, and I would like to go very much, but I've got a very like resourceful frame of mind. I wouldn't like go somewhere so far unless I have a need to. So eventually we'll be touring some shows there. So I know it's there's a good chance it's on the horizon anyway. But I'll multitask one. Also, my kids will be a bit older; they can enjoy it more.
Appreciate it. So we're going to take you home among the gum trees for now, and plan your takeover of the world.
I've been around the world a couple of times, or maybe more. I've seen the sights, I've had delights on every foreign shore. But when the mate will ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. What do we tell them? Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep or two, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. You can see me in the kitchen cooking up a roast, or Vegemite on toast, just you and me, a cup of tea. Later on we'll settle down and mull up on the porch and watch the possums play. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a duck, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old chair. There's a Safeway's up the corner and a Woolies down the street, and a brand new place they've opened up and they regulate the heat. But I trade them all tomorrow for a single bush retreat with a kookaburra's call. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees, a bong of sugar kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. Some people like their houses with fences all around, others live in mansions and some beneath the ground. For me, I like the bush, you know, with rabbits running round, and a pumpkin vine out the back. Is your turn. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. Kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old
Well, that's very cute.
And that's a live version as well, so you can hear other people enjoying it as well. My parents used to take us to these country clubs as well, and there'd be like people singing songs like that, and they'd wear the cowboy hats. They really loved all that. We used to go to these musters. Okay. A muster is when they gather all the cows from the region for something. I don't know.
Beauty parade? Or?
I still don't know. But you have all these people coming with horses and their cowboy hats, and they'd have all kinds of events. All these countries, which is why now, as a grown up, I'm not as fascinated by countryside as a lot of people, Maltese people. I like being inside comfort. I spend a lot of time being bitten by mosquitoes and having to go to the bathroom outside. I do like man-made stuff.
Well, we like that. We like that too. So you're in good company. The next track.
Yes.
Another good one. Mm-hmm. Roxette.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a bit afraid. How do you do?
This is a guilty pleasure. This is the Roxette. This is still Australian. So I was Australian between the age of like 10 and about 14. And at that age, you start to actually like music. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to, at my age, I started like, oh, this song's actually like, not necessarily songs that your parents listen to because they're on the radio. And there were many songs, many bands that I got into at the time. There's like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Those were the first like songs which I memorized. You know, I have to read the inside of the cassette.
Yeah.
The Red Hot, I love. But Roxette, I liked then and I still like now. And they're not very, cool. They're a bit of a guilty pleasure. I just think they're amazing. And I've always liked happy songs. I do like sad songs as well, but happy songs give me energy. And that's like my Spotify list is, and this is still on my Spotify list. This particular song, it just makes me feel happy and gives me energy even now.
You need energy ever?
Well, I don't drink coffee or anything like that, but yeah, I do kind of like take the universe gives me energy, you know, like kind of, I guess I get from positivity.
Excellent.
And it comes from songs like this.
We're going to try and keep you tied to the desk while we listen to How You Do by Roxette.
I see you comb your hair and give me that grin. It's making me spin now, spinning within. Before I melt like snow, I say hello, how do you do? I love the way you undress now, baby, begin. Do your caress, honey, my heart's in a mess. I love your blue-eyed voice like tiny tin shines through. How do you do?
How do you do?
Well, here we are, cracking jokes in the corner of our mouths, and I feel like I'm laughing in a dream. If I was young, I could wait outside your school, cause your face is like the cover of a magazine. Say hello, how do you do?
So the next track here, you must have been back in Malta by this point. So this is Girl from Mars?
Yes, I was.
Ah.
Girl from Mars. When this song came out when I was... well, I don't know when it came out, but when I started enjoying it when I was 16. This is a memory of Island Sound Radio. When we came back from Malta, it was a bit traumatic, making friends for 4 years, and then suddenly you're back to Malta, then back to Malta. And it just suddenly felt very confined, and like I didn't know anyone. And this was before, obviously, the internet or anything. Just a letter every couple of months to some random. And I'd write a letter to the class and invite them all to answer me back. And it's always the class losers who takes up the challenge, which I appreciated.
Yes, they might be listening.
They might be, you never know. Thank you, Brad.
Now, play nicely with the other children.
I made up that name. So then I just really got into radio, because I used to listen to radio, and Island Sound was an English-speaking radio station, and it was like, first of all, I couldn't even believe it was a Maltese station, like it was broadcasting from Malta. And I was obsessed with that station, and I started eventually working there. When I was 16, I started training, and that's where I met friends I still have now, like Colin Fitz. So we made friends there, and I started when I was 16, and that's also, while I was like teenager, I got my first girlfriend at the time, you know.
Was she a girl from Mars? No,
I think she was from like Moldova or something.
Hey, you're
but close enough, yeah. Close enough. And Ash was a group that was big then. They're only like the singers are only a couple of years older than I am. In fact, their album is called 1977 because that's the year they were born. And I just really like this song. This song was pretty big in like 1996, 97.
So we're going to play that, take you back to the days of Island Sound Radio with Girl from Mars.
Do you remember the time when you were a girl from Mars? I don't know if you knew that. Oh, would stay up there playing cards and you were into cigars. And she never told me her name. I still love you, the girl from Mars. Sitting in a dreamy day by the water's edge, on a cool summer night, fireflies and stars in the sky, gently blowing light from your cigarette. The breeze blowing softly on my face reminds me of something else, something that in my memory's been misplaced. Suddenly all comes back, and as I look to the stars, I remember the time. I don't know if you knew that. Always there with the cards, with the winds of the cigars. But she never told me her name. I still love you, the girl from Mars. Searching through the darkness over the moon and strand. Electricity in the air, just in all through the night on the terrace. Now that summer is here, I know that you are almost in love with me. I can see it in your eyes, strange lights shimmering over the sea tonight. And it almost broke my mind. And as I look to the stars, I remember the time when you were born on Mars. I don't know if you knew that. Always there for the cards, we went to the cigars. But you never told me. So love you to go for more. As if you'd returned, I thought that you were standing over me. When I woke, there was no one there. I still love you, girl from Mars. You remember the time when you were a girl from Mars. I don't know if you knew that. Always there for playing cards, you went to the cigars. But you never told me your name. Do you remember the time when you were a girl from Mars? I don't. Always there to play cards, to the winds and the cigars. And I still dream of you.
That's a bit jumpy aroundy, isn't it?
It is. I looked up Ash when I was preparing the songs just to see, and they're still together. Ah. They're still same formation, and they've still they still do concerts, although now it's mostly in the UK. They are from Northern Ireland, from Belfast, and that also ties into this unexplained love I have for Ireland and anything Irish. I just I don't know. I just I've only been there once, but my wife and I we
like it there.
Yeah, the music, the accent, the poetry,
Yeah, no, it is a nice place though, and it's got green stuff. But anyway, let's not go there. What a good boy.
Oh yes, this is from junior college. Okay. So I got into junior college when I was 1996, so I was about 16, so still like roughly the same time. And then from when I started junior college, I made friends, many friends which I still have now, friends that got me into theatre. And so it was mostly Chris Dingley and Wesley Alul, who are still, working. We met when we were 16 in junior college. And and many others, but we're still friends, many of them now. And we still regularly talk. And Wesley, we would bring this cassette called Gordon. It was like the album called Gordon. It was an album by the Bare Naked Ladies, which was a Canadian band. Now they're much bigger now. They did the title track for the Big Bang Theory, the TV show. But back then they were relatively, I'd never heard of it before. And we just really enjoyed their music. And we used to, record the cassettes, pass it around. And this was a song that I think the three of us still enjoy to this day.
Oh. And you listen to it and still you go back to junior college. Actually, none of you have grown up.
No, we haven't. But this song I sing, if it comes up my Spotify list, you better not be sitting next to me in the car because I'm singing it loud.
So we're going to listen to that. That's What a Good Boy by the Bare Naked Ladies.
When I was born, they looked at me and said, what a good boy, what a smart boy, what a strong boy. When you were born, they look at you and say, what a good girl, what a smart girl, what a pretty girl. Got these chains hang around our legs, people want to strangle us with before we take our first breath. Afraid of change, afraid of staying the same. When temptation comes, we just look away. This name is the hair shirt I wear. This hair shirt is woven from your brown hair. This song is the cross that I bear. Bear with me, bear with me, bear with me. Be with me tonight. I know that it isn't right. Be with me tonight. Go to school, I write exams. If I pass, if I fail, if I drop out, does anyone give a damn? If they do, they'll soon forget, 'cause it won't take much for me to show my life ain't over yet. Wake up scared, I wake up strange, I wake up wondering if anything in my life is ever gonna change. I couldn't tell I was wrong. Chicken down, got the pen and the paper, sat down and I wrote this song. I couldn't tell you were right. So instead I looked in the mirror, I watched TV, laid awake all night. We got these chains hang around our legs, people wanna strangle us with them before we take off.
a smart boy, what a strong boy. When you were born, they looked at you and said, what a good girl, what a smart girl, what a pretty girl, hey.
So moving on to you sort of growing up.
that word's doing some heavy lifting.
Yeah, yeah. Io ci sarò.
Io ci sarò. Yeah, I just realized there's two Italian songs in this. As a Maltese person in my generation, I do speak Italian because when I was young, that's all we had to see on TV. So like, so I did watch like the cartoons was all in Italian. And this band, 883, they were big in the 90s. And I still love their music. Apparently, I've got Italian friends. They're seen a bit cheesy by Italians. Even their lyrics are a little bit, I guess, simplistic. But as a non-confident Italian speaker, that's precisely why I like them. And Max Pezzali and 883, the lead singer, they remain quite big in Malta now. And Io ci sarò is a nice song. It's about like I'll always be there. In it's addressed to a woman, and it's basically saying how or to someone that they're in love with. But it's I will always be there, no matter what. And this was our wedding song. So aww. When I met Angel, we danced to this song during our wedding in 2005, Monique. A long time ago. I was 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our wedding song. And we still dance to it every now and again.
I'm sure you guys dance to a lot more than just this.
I just have
these visions of your household being quite entertaining.
Our household is chaotic.
You should put webcams in. And
we have, like, every room is a different color, and we have just props from things, our children's toys. We just celebrate chaos in our house, and people come over with to discuss ideas, and
what a wonderful marriage of ideas that is. So, Io ci sarò, we're going to listen to that now.
Ci sarò, io ci sarò.
che io mi impegnerò. Io farò di tutto, però se il mondo col suo delirio riuscirà ad entrare e far danni, ti prego dimmi che combatterai insieme a me.
I'm not a fan of Italian music generally, just but the rhyme. Mm. Oh my god, Italian is so much superior to English when it comes to poetry, because every verb rhymes, you know.
My Italian is really poor, then.
No, it's just so.
I really I'm going to listen to more songs like this so I can learn a bit better. But anyway, we're going to take you back to Ireland. Your next track is Galway Girl.
Yes. This was after a marriage. In about 2008, my wife and I took a holiday together. Before we had kids, and went to Ireland. We finally got to Ireland, and it was fun. We spent a few days in Dublin, but then we rented a car, and we drove to Clifton, and we drove to the other end of,
okay.
of I remember my wife driving all the way. My wife drives whenever we go abroad. My wife's the driver, because my wife's a couple of years older than me, and when we started driving, it was just much cheaper for her to drive. When we rented a car abroad, it was much cheaper for her to drive, because she would be over 30, and I'm just under 30. So now, like, traditions. So I usually do the driving here when we're both in the car, but when we travel, she drives. And we're driving right across Ireland, and this song just kept popping up on the radio, and we were going to Galway.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a really happy song. I still enjoy this song very much.
So I was going to say, when you get to drive here, you're the one who can listen to this to calm down a bit.
Yes.
So I do go on about the traffic on the show, I'm sorry, but Galway Girl, let's just have a listen and enjoy that.
I took a stroll down the old long walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I asked you, friend, what's a fella to do? 'Cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. And I knew right then I'd be taking the world down the Salt Hill Farm with a Galway girl. To her flat downtown on a fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do? Oh, 'cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. So I took her hand and I gave her a swirl, and I lost my heart to a Galway girl. So when I woke up, I was all alone, with a broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you now, what would you do? Oh, if her hair was black and her eyes were blue. You see, I traveled around, I've been all over the world,
Galway girl. Woo! Hey!
I love this. I love anything Irish. I love the dance. And I think also as Maltese, we have a kind of connection with the Irish. We have very similar kind of...
Yeah, that whole St. Patrick's Day and all of that. I never understand. There's some historic link that I'm
aware
of.
We both have the colonial kind of past. We're both quite fixated with the church.
And we like to party.
And we like to party.
Frankly, we like to party.
Yes, yes.
But I'm going to take you now, I think, to Edinburgh.
And is this that one?
This is Pawn the Musical.
This was Pawn the Musical was an important show in our lives because so we started doing theatre because it was what we enjoyed. We started working on theatre, but Pawn the Musical is our first piece that we wrote, and we took that ended up went to Edinburgh. We did it for 3 weekends in Malta. It was supposed to be 2, but. So it was a show that I wrote with Chris Spiteri and Boris Chedrick. It was self-funded. We obviously couldn't get funding for a show called Pawn the Musical. The government, surprisingly enough, did not want to give us money to do that. So we just said, we did it ourselves. And that was very important to me. That was empowering, that we can create a show. If you get funding, great. But if we don't get funding, we're not relying on anything to do. And I think that really has informed me.
Okay.
Like even the show we just had in this season was completely self-funded. And that gives you that kind of independence. Which is reassuring in the future. You're not relying on people. And with Pawn, that was great for us. We did it for 3 weeks in Malta, and then Winston Atzopardi was a producer who really enjoyed the show, and he helped us take that to Edinburgh. We did it for a month in Edinburgh, and then another producer found that. We did another month in London a year later, and we won the Off West End Award for Best New Musical with that. So it was quite a... And from then on, that kind of has given me the energy to keep working in theatre full-time for the past 10, 12 years since then. And this was one of the songs from Pawn the Musical called I Got a PhD. It was one of the songs that was an audience favourite.
So you wrote all the songs as well?
No.
Between you, no?
Now, Chris and Boris wrote the music.
Okay.
And the lyrics was the three of us who were all pitching with lyrics. And I wrote the story and the characterisation.
Okay.
And I directed the first few runs of the show.
So I know everyone's going to really enjoy this. This is I Got a PhD from Pawn the Musical.
Johnny, I've got a PhD, that's true. But if you think it's academic, you'd be wrong, so hear me through. I'm not a gentleman or a scholar. Guys like me make a pretty dollar. My degree hangs down to touch my knee. I know better, size does matter. Don't believe what you hear. Just look at me, I've got a PhD. This thing just grew on me. It's not a magic trick. This is my mighty stick. I've got a PhD, and people envy me. Help me go this far. Make me a porno star. So learn to respect my degree. My PhD. I did my dissertation through masturbation. My research is very thorough about girls that suck and swallow. And the time spent on the knees is the subject of my current thesis. From the day I was born, my destiny was born. I know better, size does matter. Don't believe what you hear. Just look. I've got a PhD. This thing just grew on me. It's not a magic trick. This is my mighty stick. I've got a PhD, and people envy me.
learn to respect my degree, my PhD. Size does matter. Don't believe what you hear. Just look at me. I've got a PhD, the largest thing you'll see. I don't exaggerate. It makes up half my ways. I've got a PhD. It smells a bit like green. And when this beast expands, you'll need some extra hands. So learn. Respect my degree, my PhD.
Yeah, this was never going to be a serious day, was it? What was I thinking? What was I thinking?
We haven't seen this show in a while. Last time I think we did a Malta was like 2014, I think, or 15. It's due another.
It could be due another, because I haven't actually seen that one. So I believe, you know, for my cultural education and, you know. Yeah,
well, it's very Malta-based. The story starts in Malta. It's about a guy who goes to America because his girlfriend cheats on him on the eve of their wedding. So he goes to America to become a star, and he's so naive that he accidentally becomes a porn star.
Ah.
that's essentially the story. And then by the act two, they're no longer able to work in America, so he brings them all back to Malta to finish off their film. So it was a strangely and disturbingly wholesome story.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Rerun it so that I can be the judge. So we're going to go on to another big star here. This is Swinging on a Star, but Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello?
I'm not sure how to pronounce it,
okay,
to be honest.
Okay.
This is from a film, one of probably Bruce Willis's least celebrated films.
Okay.
It was called The Hudson Hawk. Came out, I'm not sure what
yeah,
it came
no.
out.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad was a fan of Bruce Willis after he saw Die Hard. He was, and we weren't allowed to see Die Hard growing up, but he did let us see The Hudson Hawk. And I'm nowadays, it was the movie, is that film that Bruce Willis apparently is embarrassed about. It was him and Andy McDowell, but we just loved it. There was Richard E. Grant in it. I love that film, The Hudson Hawk. And there's a scene where him and the other guy, they're robbing a place. And since they're not together, they're not like they're in different places.
Mm-hmm.
To get an idea of the timing, they're both singing the same song. So they know by this lyric they have to be here, you know. Like,
right, okay.
And the song is about, it's a children's song. And I just really enjoyed that song. And when I had my kids, I used to sing it to them all the time. And it's about what you want to be when you grow up. And I think it's also strangely cathartic because, you know, you could be a mule, but no, the mule has, the mule is stubborn. You can be a fish, but the fish just wants to trick people. And you can be a pig, but the pig is kind of ill-mannered. So just swing on a star. You know, the swing on a star, basically just ignore the monkeys and swing on a star. And I just thought it's a really nice little song about doing your thing in life.
Excellent. That's yeah. No, I'm sorry, because I'm just like, yeah. What do I want to be when I grow up? I need to listen to this song to work it out for myself.
You
so,
do.
Swinging on a Star, Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello.
Possibly.
I think. Yes.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry more booze in a jar, and be better off than you are. Oh, won't you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hit that up soon,
shh, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish? A fish is an animal that swims in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book.
To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
If that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
Delish.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Everyone beams home in a jar.
and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no hands when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig. And all the monkeys born in the zoo, every day you see quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you.
You could be better than you are. Swinging on a star.
You could be swinging on a star.
You could be swinging on a star. Tommy, yes, Eddie. You could be swinging on a star.
You could be swinging on a star.
You could be swinging on a star, my man.
Hey, don't I know it?
You could be swinging on a star.
You could be swinging on a star.
Let's take it home!
You could be swinging on a star.
We're already, I don't know how we've done this, but we're already at the last track. So
I believe the song's actually from a musical.
Okay.
It's from one of those old-timey Broadway hits, and it was just revamped from the film, and the film itself is quite old. So it's a very niche song. But I think it's the lyrics are really fun with this, and I enjoy the song.
So when you're watching, because obviously you write yourselves,
mm-hmm, yes.
What comes first? Is it an idea that comes first, or is it something, words that you want to put in a song, and that comes first, and then you write the play?
It depends. I get very inspired by music. I do most of my writing late at night, usually once I put the kids to bed, so usually about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Usually my writing time is like 10 till 2.
Okay.
At night. And so very often I have headphones on, and I have and there's some playlists, and I like to discover. I don't like to listen to songs that I know, because they will kind of distract me. So I hear, and then sometimes I just hear a song, and you just hear it over and over again. It could be an old song, and I just listen to it very often, like many times, until I get emotional, and then I just kind of like put those into the songs. That's essentially how it works. But I music is quite an important part of the process.
Because I'm always fascinated by people that write in that way, sort of imagination, mm-hmm, writing, because I'm a factual writer, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to be able to create characters and take bits of people you know, and maybe bits of people you wish you knew, or you know, how does that work?
A good way to start kind of writing is, and this is something which I think everyone can relate to, is that sometimes in life or in a situation where in retrospect you could have behaved differently. Like somebody confronts you about something, and maybe afterwards, I don't like the way I acted. I don't like the way I should have said this at this time, or I should have done that. And we all have that in retrospect. Had you done that, probably the situation could have been worse. But you know, maybe someone confronts you over a parking spot, or even if it's a positive thing, somebody tells you something, someone opens up their heart to you, and you maybe you're a bit colder, and then you look back like, I should have done that. So writing is a way to, when you can recreate that situation with different characters, maybe with a different situation, and have the characters behave in a way that you think they should have, or maybe they really should not have. Like, if I had said that, it would have made the situation so much worse. So you can create that fake situation, I listened to an interview with Trevor Zara, my favorite writer, recently, and he said in Maltese, about writing, it's tip nisolare ta fantasia pedament ta realtà. You're building floors of fantasy on a foundation of reality. So
okay.
you get something real, and then the foundation's real, then you build on that, you build the fantasy. So and very often writing has at its core, for it to be relatable, at its core, something which is very, very real, and something that people, readers, can relate to. And I like all forms of writing. I just tend to prefer theatre out of... I just like the audience to experience it immediately. You know, a book, I'm not patient enough that people read a book in their own time. I like, you're all seeing, even a film, they could see it on their own time. But a piece of theatre, they must enjoy it now and together. And I do like that. I do like that communal aspect of sharing a story with and not just sharing it with the rest of the audience, but you're also sharing with the cast, who are feeding directly off the audience's energy. And I do like that process. So you start creating the story, but sometimes when you work on it professionally, then you also have to do it quickly. Because if it's going to take you 2 years to write a play, then it's just not worth the what you're going to get paid for it. So you study, you train. There's exercises so you can
get it down.
You get it down. So very often I work very much with planning. I do a lot of planning. So if I'm going to take I budget a lot of time. So like so I'm going to give myself like, for example, 6 weeks to write, like even something like a pantomime. I'll give out like 6 weeks to write that. 3 weeks would just be planning. 3 weeks I wouldn't written a single word of dialogue. Just plot, structure, characterization, pictures of what I imagined it looked like. Uh-huh. Just really plot. Then you start writing. You might deviate a little bit from the plot when you start writing what you're planning, but not too much. And if you do deviate, you know what effect it's going to have on the rest of the story.
And you've got to come back and bring it back to... it's ending. I guess.
Sometimes a character will speak something. They'll say something that like you didn't expect them to say. Sometimes because you didn't.
This when I hear writers talk like you've just said, it's like, but you've written it. But you have, it comes to you.
You create the character. I like to know what the characters look like. So if I know that the actors are going to have their picture, if I don't know, I'll just find an online picture of someone. Maybe they're based on someone I know. I'll have that picture. It'll be like an extreme version of that person. And you give them a personality. You have a plot. They know what they have to do, and then you just let them talk. Ah. But then you always have to. I'm also I like to be very frugal with my scenes. So a story needs to be told in the least possible words.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. So everything has to happen for a reason.
Yeah.
In a show, just so they do just get bored, because people's attention span is very low, and if people have the which is good because there's a lot of entertainment, and if people are nice enough to come see your show, then you have to make it worth their while.
Well, I big fan anyway, so hope to see many more of your things. So we're going to go out on your last song, but thank you, Malcolm Gallia, for joining me on this week's Musical Memories. Your last track is Green Green Grass by George Ezra.
But she moves like lightning, and she counts to three. Then she turns out all the lights and says she's coming for me. Now put your hands up, this is a heist. And there's no one in here living gonna make it out alive. Load it up when the sun comes down. Getaway car for two young lovers. Me and the girl straight out of town. Over the hills and undercover, undercover, undercover. She said, green, green grass, blue, blue sky. You better throw a party on the day that I die. Green, green grass, blue, blue sky. You better throw a party on the day that I die. We go together, Adam and Eve. But the girl is so much more than just another apple thief. Yeah, she's a genius, watch and learn. She sets the world on fire just to watch the sucker burn. Load it up when the sun comes down. Getaway car for two young lovers. Me and the girl straight out of town. Over the hills and undercover, undercover, undercover. She said, green, green grass, blue, blue sky. You better throw a party on the day that I die. Green, green grass, blue, blue sky.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest, tune in next week for more.